Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This will be airing, the first week of June 2024.
Yes, Whoa. Crazy.
Man.
We're getting awfully close to a wedding for my little girl.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun. We are planning on coming up. Going to try to stay a little bit of time on the lake and do some more.
Oh, good. Excellent.
More boating, before that wedding and then enjoy
great time of the year to do that, right?
Yeah. So that'd be fun. Everything coming together?
Everything's coming together. Yeah. It's going to be a good one. God has spoken so many beautiful promises literally over the wedding itself.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of young college kids coming to this one who, a whole slew that are head over heels in love with Jesus and a whole slew who don't have a clue. And God's spoken some beautiful promises. It's going to be fun for them to just see and hear the gospel presented in the midst of the celebration of covenant, right? Yeah. They're going to see it right before their eyes, which will be a beautiful thing.
Are they going to have music for us older people or?
You know what? Send me a couple song requests and I'll tell Anna to give them to the DJ for you.
they won't be so out of character because I like all kinds of music, but some of the newest ones are interesting.
Yes. Send me a couple of favorites of Linda's and I'll see if Anna can't have the DJ stick those in.
Joshua, you know, he's really he's always been kind of a cowboy in mentality and
right.
That he loves Texas because of that. But
is he a country music fan too?
He's a big country music fan.
Nice.
Goes dancing, you know, to country music. So when when he comes back home for the summer meaning a couple of, you know, several weeks before he goes to work, there's a couple of places in Denver that are great country music dancing halls.
Oh yeah,
and they, you know, they're open every night. So we'll all go there. And Linda, she's got a cowboy.
Well, I've seen
hat.
A video of you guys line dancing before.
Right.
I have
that's
seen
right.
it.
That's right. Linda
that's great.
Linda made me learn a routine, and I had to make sure I did. I did it right. So we've been talking about this issue of clutter and heaviness and burden and. We've gone through the activity piece of it, of we're doing too many things and we're driving task and we're filling our life up with task and we're not having breaks. And then we've talked about our thought life, which is geared around problems in a sense. It's adversity, things that happen to us and we try to fix them, probably make them worse. Maybe we've made a mistake and we're focused on the mistake. Certainly can be sin where we just are walking away from God and trying to figure this out ourselves. And last time we talked about that we get ourselves in double binds where we try and try and try and try and try to come up with a solution and we just can't. And we finally just let the burden crush us and we just kind of get, and you actually described it as, you know, you get deep discouragement. You can even go to depression.
Just a real hopelessness for sure.
Hopelessness, sadness. And, we wanted to end this little, you know, kind of piece of setting it up that, well, there are consequences to that. So that if we stay there, we are going to experience these consequences, which God would say, first of all, you don't need to ever get to thee. But if you are experiencing these, he says, I would really urge you to let me now pull you out of that because we're in the middle of those circumstances. So. Go to Psalm 95, verses 10 and 11.
Sure. It says, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Yeah. So this is God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He says for 40 years, what was his emotion?
He was grieved. He was grieved with them.
He was grieved with them. And we'll talk about that, what that looks like. And then he says that they've gone astray, and they do.
And they don't even know my ways.
They don't
says.
Know my way at all. So as a result of that, they could not what?
Could not enter my rest.
They could not enter my rest. So that if we, in other words, if we remain in this spot that we've described, your mind is occupied with trouble, failure, I can't get out of this, nothing's ever going to work, I might have caused this, woe is me. He said, and this is an interesting statement, if you stay there, I can't even act to have you enter my rest. I can't do it. You cannot have any shot at the rest. Or the, in this case, remember, he's talking about Israel going into the promised land.
Right.
And he said, you know, if you're willing to cross the Jordan with me, I will deliver to you the land of promises. And by the way, the outcome of that, which he describes it in great detail, I'm going to give you rest from all of the enemy around you, and you'll be completely having a life of protection, knowing that you're still going to have adversity, but I'm going to give you a life of promise and a life of rest. I promise you this. I've offered that to you. But he said, because of where you stayed, not because of where you went to. Now, this is important. The fact that you got there is okay. The problem is you stayed there. And you grieved me for 40 years. Okay. Now, let's first of all understand, what does that mean to stay there? Now, we got to that point because we worried, we were anxious, we tried to figure things out, we made mistakes, we beat ourselves up, we tried. And by the way, and remember, we're believers. So while we're doing that, there is another thing we're doing. We're praying. God, take care of it. God, take care of it. God, take care of it. And it doesn't happen.
Right.
Okay, now, our conclusion, when we finally come to a place that ain't going to change in our mind, what's our conclusion?
That God doesn't care about it, and I'm on my own with it. Yeah.
That actually, I guess this is God's will for me, and I have to accept it. Now, it's still heavy, it's oppressive, and there's no hope to it, but I guess that's it. And I prayed, and since God, in essence, said no, well, then that's it. And I've just got to live in what I call a sad life, a oppressed life, a resigned life. Never really get excited about anything because of this thing that's happened to me and where I'm at with it. And God's trying to say to us is that actually you grieved me. Okay, now, in what way can somebody grieve God for 40 years? What does that mean happen?
Not being with him is probably the biggest thing, is just not being with him, rejecting the prompts of the Holy Spirit, and not being willing to come to him.
Because I've decided, why bother? And again, I'm under this false thought that God is in control. And I'm a believer, I'm part of his family. And if he's in control and I'm part of his family, shouldn't he have fixed this thing that I even prayed about? He didn't. okay, I guess why bother with that? And I just stay in this place of mediocrity or oppression or heaviness, and I can't get out of it. And God said, actually, because you stayed there,
mm-hmm.
you grieved me for 40 years, and you never responded to my invitation. And you got it backwards. Because you're asking me to do what you think you should do, I should do for you. And if I don't do it that way, then you're rejecting me. And you've decided, therefore, why bother? I'm not going to go. So like what happens with the Israelites is God said, I promise to give you this land. Yet there are giants mm-hmm. there. I will defeat them, and you'll be having the beautiful land of promise, which is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Will you come? And they basically said to God, what did they say to God?
No, we kind of like it here. We're comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not willing. See, I'm not even willing to go any further. First of all, I don't want to go because I think it's scary to go. But I'm not willing to talk to you anymore about this. As far as I can see, there's no value in it. And so, no, we're not willing to go any further
mm-hmm.
in process, discussion, understanding, getting strength to go. We've decided we're not going to go. And the decision, see, is I'm not willing to follow what you have to say to me any further. I'm staying here. And he said, well, for 40 years, that grieved me. Okay, now there's two things to think about. The first one is, why would that grieve God so much?
Because it really does show a lack of trust that his will is best. And it shows they're not willing to wrestle that out with him.
Okay.
You know, they'd rather resign to what they know than to go on adventure with him and let him show them.
Yeah. And what now can he not do?
He can't deliver his will. And as he, you know, in this case, wanted to take them to the promised land. And that was where he wanted to truly, they were to be like his poster children. That was where he was going to display his glory. And so his hands were tied with displaying his glory through them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't go.
Yeah. And see, God's heart is covenant. I want to bless you to make you a blessing, which they already had known, by the way. I now cannot deliver to you what I had planned to deliver to mm-hmm. you. My heart is to deliver it to you. And it grieves me that I cannot deliver that to you now because mm-hmm. you're not willing to keep going with me.
Right.
It's your choice. I'm never going to force you, but I invited you to it, and it grieves me because and God says, I know
mm-hmm.
what it would have been like.
Right.
And you would have had a fantastic, grand experience, and I can't give it to you. It grieves me that I have it, but I can't give it to you. So that, I mean, think about it in simple terms. Let's say that, you know, you have your young children at Christmas and, you know, they wanted a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you bought the bicycle. You hit it in the garage, ready to give it to them.
Right.
On Christmas. You go through the Christmas morning and you say, hey, Joey, there's another big package for you out in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey says, eh.
I don't feel like going to get it.
I'm not going out there. You know, I doubt if it's going to mm-hmm. be any good anyway. I'm tired. I'm not going out there. No. As a parent, what would be your heart? See, it would be grief.
Right.
Is that you're just a few steps away from having a joyful thing happen to you. And you're saying, I'm not willing to go and get mm-hmm. it. And it grieves me, first of all, that you even have that thought, number one. But two is the fact that you won't go means even though I have it, I can't give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with God, is that I have it. It's all there for you. And I'll deliver it. And mm-hmm. you're telling me that you're not willing to go receive it? That grieves me, because my heart is to give it to you. And by the way, I want to thrill you with that.
Right, right.
And so it grieves me that I can't, that you not prevented me to. The second thing is that there's a sadness on the part of God to say, it's not that you're struggling with this. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you choose to stay here and never go any further, then our daily relationship is going to be halted, because you're now so stubborn that you're demanding certain things as opposed to be willing to process with me. And everything stops in my ability to deliver the next things to you, because, and again, because of what we've just been describing, you're no longer in the kingdom where it all is given to you.
Right.
And then secondly is that you're going to have to go with me for me to deliver it to you. And it's not that, well, you don't get that one, but you get a bunch of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you've stopped it all.
Right. It's interesting. Even as you're saying that, it reminds me, honestly, you know, back to where you were saying so many times in this case, we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and nothing has changed. So that's where we get to this point, right? And start blaming God, and he doesn't care, and it's never going to be, and woe is me, that must be his will, all of the things. And it really starts with an incorrect prayer, right? With not a posture of, God, what do you have to say?
Right.
But a posture of, God, this is what I need you to do. And I know, you know, we see in the Bible sometimes David saying, God, do this, do this, do this. You know, he there's an example. But then we also see him in those same Psalms turn back around, and where he laments honestly and shares his thoughts and feelings on it, and then turns back around in a prayer of surrender and basically says, but God, I give this to you. What do you have to say about this? And what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that right posture of prayer is key to this, because even if, you know, when we get in a situation like this, I think, you know, I think of Paul and the thorn that wasn't removed. But you've got to think he was so content, because he must have been dialoguing with God about, you know, okay, I'm not getting rid of this, but I have reason for this. And I'm sharing some of this with you, and you keep going, and it's going to be for my glory, and this is good anyway. But the dialogue didn't end with the problem. Right.
Right. Yeah. So the consequence is that if we're not willing to keep going, because we wound up in this place of discouragement, and I can't figure this out, and probably I made a mistake, and I know that I haven't walked with God. He says, okay. And then we're going to get into this, you know, in our next piece of the material here. But I get that. Would you have a heart to now come with me and let me show you
mm-hmm.
that I do have the resolution? I do have answers. Right. And the only way you can prevent it is that you stay in this consequence mm-hmm. of discouragement, and you actually, by refusing to go forward,
right,
stay in that consequence.
Yeah.
And he actually describes it even more deep. You could go to Jeremiah 8. 13, first of all.
Sure. It says, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them.
Yeah. So he says that because you're staying here, the bounty that would come normally
mm-hmm.
Is not even going to come. And you're going to lose what I have been giving you. And that's why staying static is not where God would have us stay, is that I understand how you feel. Would you be willing to learn a new way?
Right.
Because otherwise, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to get more and more discouraged, which, by the way, a lot of Christians kind of live there.
Mm-hmm.
They really have discouragement about life.
Right.
And they're frustrated, and they're upset. And God says, well, that's part of the consequence. And then go to Jeremiah 9, 13 to 16.
Sure. It says, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them.
Yeah. And he says, now, what's the reason back in 13?
Back in 13, because they've forsaken my law and have not obeyed my voice or walked according to it.
Yeah, and they've walked according to the dictates of their own heart. And that is that because you're a child of God, and particularly as believers, I put my spirit within you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm asking you to is to walk with me. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a heart to walk with me and don't stop like the Israelites did and just said, I'm not going any further. Here in Jeremiah says, you know, what you're doing isn't walking with God. He's promised you the covenant, but if you don't, you're not going to experience the covenant. It's going to experience the opposite. Would you please repent and come? No. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do, even though it's not very pleasant. And that's why God, you know, one of our little famous sayings says, well, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Since it isn't working out, instead of getting more stubborn about it and more consequential, why don't you at least try and let me help you guide you into a place where maybe you can see that the opportunity is way different than what you've concluded, and that God really does want to resolve this. And basically what he's saying here is that you have stopped it all. And the only reason you've stopped at all is that not that you're experiencing frustration. It's that you're not willing to go any further with me and find out what I am wanting to do and can deliver to you. And by the way, the key, he said, is what? You've got to be able to hear my voice, which we just finished a series on this.
Right.
Is that you got to hear what I have
hear
to say.
Hear and heed it.
Yeah, and then be willing to follow it. But if you're so distant from me that you can't even hear what I have to say,
right,
you're going to keep convincing yourself you might as well just stay here, even though it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, so he said the consequences of your mind continuing to be occupied by the things of life that are struggles isn't going to benefit you at all. And it's going to lead you to deeper places where you basically just kind of go to complete resignation. And why even pursue this, you know, with God? Or, you know, I don't trust it anyway. So, I'll go to church. I'll do these things. But my life is a life of heaviness because I'm not getting anywhere with it. So we want everybody to know. And there's a lot of people that are in the middle of all that. You know, yeah, they're getting discouraged. They think about their failures. They think about these things that you're trying to
resolve. For valid reasons. Yeah.
And it's
real things going on in the world.
And
yeah.
What we want to set up here is it's okay. Here's a moment in time where God would say, I understand that, but I'm inviting you and I'm trying to show you, do not stay here. Do not get stubborn and give up. And all I want you to do is to have a heart to come and listen and follow, and I'll lead you out of this.
Right.
I guarantee it, because why? I want you to live a margin beautiful life that has space, that has peace, that has rest. And I know that things in the world trouble you. And we have series on this, overcoming adversity, overcoming all kinds of things that God says, I can show you how to do this, you know, if you have a heart to go. So, you know, we've kind of set it up, and a lot of people are saying, well, okay, I don't know. it seems like we never get out of this discouragement. Is there really a way out of this?
Right.
And the answer is, yes, there is. And that's what we're going to move into next. So
I know there's a lot of people ready to move into that side, right? So come, they can relate to what we're saying, but back, they're ready to see the other side.
Come back tomorrow. We're going to start the good stuff to identify. So Father, we thank you for the truth of this. We understand there's consequences to our stubbornness, to our unwilling to go, our unwilling to consider a different way. And it's hard. We may never have experienced it. And we wonder, we don't see anybody around us experiencing it. We wonder, is it really available to us? And Kathy and I can say, yes, absolutely it is. We can't tell you the answer, but we can tell you who has the answer. And so we know that your heart is to bring resolution, to overcome adversity, to move us past this point of being stuck, and to experience life again and experience hope. So we just pray that we'll respond to that in a very positive way, and that we'll look forward to the steps that you want us to take to let you guide us into the beautiful answers that you do have. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. Be sure if you have questions to send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com, and we will look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.